This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
U.S. lawmakers say no PEC to OPEC. From Marketplace, I'm Nova Safo in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. is not happy with OPEC's decision to slash oil production by around 2 million barrels per day. Congress and the Biden administration are especially upset with OPEC's largest producer, Saudi Arabia. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the latest. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So what can the U.S. do about OPEC's decision this week?
Well, there are some options here, Nova. On Capitol Hill, a bipartisan group of senators is backing the No Oil Producing and Exporting Cartels, or NOPEC, bill. It would take sovereign immunity away from OPEC Plus members, and without it, those countries could be sued for things like collusion and price fixing. But the Biden administration could also be accused of that because it's tamped down prices by releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
So that's what Congress is looking at. And what about a response from the Biden administration?
Well, yesterday, President Biden told reporters they haven't made up their minds yet on how to respond, but they could ban exports of U.S. gas and diesel to increase the supply here at home. The White House is also urging U.S. oil companies to produce more. And some members of Congress want the Biden administration to cut sales of military equipment to Saudi Arabia.
And would any of this really make a difference, though, Nancy, in terms of influencing OPEC's decisions?
Maybe, but Saudi Arabia doesn't sell that much oil to the U.S. anymore, and the Saudis have said they can always buy weapons from Russia.
Well, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We get the government's official report on hiring and unemployment for September in just about an hour and a half. One thing we've been watching in these jobs reports is the labor force participation rate, which is not back to pre-pandemic levels just yet. Parents of young children have faced particular challenges returning to full-time work. That's especially true for mothers, mostly because caregiving responsibilities continue to weigh more heavily on them, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
It's the ability to find and afford scarce childcare slots that ends up being crucial for many families in deciding who can return to work and how much they can take on. Amanda Brinkman is a product designer for a software company in Indianapolis with a 2- and a 10-year-old. Her husband was laid off during the pandemic, and they decided they couldn't afford childcare. Once he got a full-time job again, they figured they could pay the $1,200 a month, barely.
We make a little bit more. We have some take-home pay after childcare costs, but obviously childcare is a lot. It's a big chunk of that.
Both of them can work from home, so when one or the other kid is sick or daycare or school is closed.
I think we're both lucky that neither of us really have to like clock in and out. So yeah, I think we've figured out a good like, oh, we'll just do the morning and afternoon shift thing again.
Women who care for family members have been more likely than men to stop working for a period since the pandemic hit or to shift to part-time work. Economist Catherine Lim at the Minneapolis Fed has been studying gendered labor force trends.
So it might be that some of these individuals have decided that they don't want to return to work now or yet.
When the Los Angeles elementary school where Susan Corvino worked closed its doors early in the pandemic, she shifted to part-time duties from home. Her husband works full-time, and eventually she stopped working altogether to help take care of their middle schooler and high schooler. She's been looking for a new job for several months now, but she says,
in a perfect world, I wouldn't want to work full-time.
She says supporting her family through the illnesses and school disruptions of the pandemic has made her wary.
I'm nervous about going back full-time because I know what full-time means. It doesn't mean, you know, 9 to 5 anymore. It means, you know, full-time plus. That gives me a bit of pause, for sure.
She says her family's lucky. They saved a lot during the pandemic, so now they can afford to live on less as she plans her next move. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The British FTSE is up 0.1% this hour. The CAC 40 in Paris is flat. Wall Street is pointing to a mixed open. Shares of marijuana growers and sellers are rising in pre-market trading after surging 20-30% yesterday. Those moves came on the heels of President Biden's decision to pardon previous federal offenses for simple marijuana possession. He also asked for a review of how the drug is classified under federal law.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the most widely used technologies in retail is now 70 years old. On this day in 1952, the U.S. granted a patent for the optically scanned barcode. It's now universally recognized as a series of vertical lines, but was originally designed as concentric circles. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes takes us back in time.
Inventors Bernard Silver and Norman Joseph Woodland came up with the idea for the code. Woodland was inspired by the Morse code he'd learned as a Boy Scout.
And so he experimented with, you know, was it possible to use things like lines and dots and dashes to be able to come up with a two-dimensional code?
Jamie Martin is the corporate archivist for IBM, where Woodland was employed when he was granted the patent. The company then developed a system using a laser that could read the barcodes. It was more than two decades before it was used in a store.
And the first product that was swiped was a pack of Wrigley's Juicy Fruit chewing gum.
The barcode caught on, says Mark Cohen of Columbia Business School, because it was simple, cheap, and...
It dramatically influenced the ability of retailers to understand what it was they sold, and therefore what it was they had left on their shelves yet to sell.
It's now a tool used to manage inventory in other industries too, like libraries. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And the latest on the spat between Twitter and Musk. A judge overseeing Twitter's lawsuit says the billionaire has until October 28 to complete his $44 billion purchase or face a civil trial in November. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler, Nick Esposito, and Jay Siebold. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.